Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Today we must ask ourselves, what is manifesting in our lives? Jesus said that you shall know them by their fruits. I don't think it's out of bounds, Saints, to look at our own lives and judge ourselves by the fruit of our lives. I think that's something that the Bible tells us to do. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. The Greek word here for prove your own selves in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 is interesting, and it makes the point. Prove your own selves, or discern, test, examine, approve, or try, or test yourselves, literally or figuratively. And so we are to know our own selves, and Jesus said we know others, and the same would be for ourselves, by their fruits, not only others. That's very important. Matthew 7, verse 16 and 20, Jesus is talking about the many false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening or devouring wolves. And yet earlier in that chapter, Jesus was teaching that we must get all the logs out of our own eyes, lest we become the swine who hypocritically judge others. When he said, judge not that you be not judged, he's talking about others. That means wrongfully, hypocritically judging them. And he goes on to say that, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet or deal out, it shall be measured to you again, or it's going to come back to you in the same measure. And why beholdest thou the mote or the splinter that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam or the telephone pole that is in thine own eye? And that's what he's getting at there. He's getting at self-judgment and examination and discernment, testing and proving that our own lives are authentically abiding in Christ, in abiding oneness relationship with Him that wrapped up John 15 and 17. And so he says in verse 5, thou hypocrite, Matthew 7, 5, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now notice, Jesus wants us to help others get things out of their lives that are sinful and evil, but first he wants us to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. That's the first and foremost responsibility of every born-again believer, is to make sure that our own lives are right with God. You know, I had breakfast with a very dear brother in Christ and minister today, and I shared with him that I have no desire to correct other people, and that it's only when God absolutely directs me to do that I have to do it, that it's going to happen. Now, I don't tell God what to do. He tells me what to do. So that's not what I'm saying, although I have cried out, all right, Lord, I don't want to ever correct anyone ever again. Why? Because I've done it in the flesh in the past. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so, you know, the Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so our first and foremost responsibility before God, Saints, is to judge our own selves, to examine our own selves, to see whether or not we're in the faith, because the root of our lives always determines the fruit. The fruit will reveal reveal what our root is. And if we're rooted in Christ, we are walking in the love of God. Amen. And sometimes the love of God will manifest in a rebuke, but may it be the Lord through a cross relationship with Christ. May it be the Lord quickening us to help someone be delivered. And that's what correction is for. It's out of the mercy of God to help someone in their walk with the Lord. And we know that God cannot coexist with sin because He's holy, holy, holy. And anyone who's going to be in relationship with the Lord, who is holy, 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 must be ye holy, if you will, as He is holy, as He has commanded. So 2 Corinthians 13:5, we are to examine ourselves, to prove our own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? So we must ask ourselves, what is it that's manifesting? What kind of fruit are we seeing in our lives? Do we examine the things that we are saying? Because Jesus said, for example, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If we want to see where our hearts are, one of the places we need to look is the words of our mouths. Not only what they are, the content of them, but the spirit in which they are spoken. I love Colossians 4, verse 6. I memorized it years ago, and it's greatly helped me personally, and I know it's helped many of you, as you can testify to, in Christ. And perhaps there's somebody listening that has never heard this verse or considered memorizing it so that you can meditate on it readily because it's in your memory. Notice Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech, the words of your mouth, be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Notice our speech, the words of our mouth, are to flow out of our lips with grace, seasoned with salt. I really like that. Being from Louisiana, we don't eat bland food in Louisiana, right? Nobody in the country would argue that Louisiana has the best food in the country. We might not have the best football team at this point, but we always have the best food, right? And what do you do when you eat bland food? You're like, ugh. It comes across with no flavor. It doesn't delight your taste buds. It doesn't invite you to take that next bite. And words can be the same way. If we don't season them with salt by the graciousness of God and how He's been so gracious to us through Christ, on the behalf of Christ, not on our behalf or because of any righteousness of our own, if you will. So they can come across like a rusty sword, and we might not even mean that, but it's a great thing here, and we see it in this verse, to ask the Lord. You see, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is our prayer guide, and we should be praying, Lord, let my speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt. And I'm reminded of Ezekiel 36:24-26. Lord, give me a heart of flesh. Take away the stony parts of my heart, Lord, and give me a heart of flesh. That's the key, saints, because out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouths speak, not only the words, not only the content, but the spirit, if you will, in which those words issue forth. The heart in Hebrew means the source. The reservoir from which our words flow is our hearts. And so it's always about Christ and Him working in our hearts. Remember again, Matthew 12, let's start in verse 33. Notice, either make the tree good, Jesus said, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. See, when there's good fruit, it means there's a rooting and abiding relationship with Christ. When there's corrupt fruit, it reveals that there's a corrupt root. For the tree is known by his fruit. What kind of fruit is manifesting from your life, beloved? What kind of tree are you? Are you planted by the river of living water, becoming more and more rooted and grounded in Christ, whereby your roots are growing deeper and spreading out and being watered by the Spirit in the Word of God? Verse 34, Jesus says, O generation of vipers. He's speaking to religious professors. And he says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? How can you, being a bunch of snakes and pure evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I want you to memorize that, friend. Out of what's in your heart, your mouth is going to speak. For he says next in verse 35, Matthew 12, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word, now this is more motivation, saints, for accountability with the words of our mouth. Jesus says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now somebody might say, you mean I'm going to go to hell if I don't have good works? Well, let's consider and synthesize that with the whole of Scripture. If you don't have good works, what does that tell us? That's bad fruit. And what does that tell us? You're not really rooted in Christ, as you think deceitfully might think you are. If the fruit is bad, it's because the root is bad. It's not in relationship with Christ. Notice, every idle word. And the word idle seems to mean void of good fruit or negative there in verse 36. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I highly recommend, beloved, that you memorize that passage in several verses, especially verse 34, 36, and 37. Notice in Ecclesiastes 5:2, be not rash with thy mouth. In other words, let your words be carefully chosen and thought out before you issue them forth. It's hard to get a word back once you've spoken it, right? Or should we say it's impossible? Does anybody else know that by experience other than myself? Does anybody else sometimes think about things you've said in the past that make you cringe now and bring you back to the throne of grace to say, Lord, please forgive me of that. Cleanse me of that. Help the person I wounded. All right. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. In other words, he's listening and has on record every word we speak. Then he says, Solomon writes, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Amen. Let thy words be few. That's quite a sentence. I encourage you to memorize Ecclesiastes 5:2. Let thy words be few. Notice verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. We have other scriptures that speak about the multitude of words. In fact, Solomon also wrote in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 through 21. He says, in the multitude of words, when there are many words, you know, when you see somebody or you remember when you used to run at the mouth, if you will, in the multitude of words there wanteth or lacketh not sin. You're going to sin if you just let words and every thought flow. You meet a lot of people and they go, I'm just an open book. Well, perhaps ought to be considering closing that book and be a closed book. In the multitude of words there wanteth or lacketh not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. I love the way the King James, the preserved word of God for the English-speaking people, the Bible, the King James Bible, so eloquently states this. Notice the picture it paints. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. And that gives us a picture that the words of the wise man's mouth are very selective. They're well thought out. He has trained his mouth and his lips, as we're going to read it in just a moment, to speak words of wisdom and to refrain from speaking when it's not time to speak. In fact, of Jesus, the Bible tells us in Isaiah that he had the tongue of the wise, knowing when to speak a word and when not to. And maybe we'll get to that in a minute. Notice verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. Choice silver, the heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So notice, I love this, lips of the wise feed many, and may God give us his wisdom today. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I believe it's Proverbs 1, verse 7 or verse 9. So the lips of the righteous feed many. May our hearts be full of the treasures of God's word and God's love, and be graciously dispensed to those around us. I love Ecclesiastes 10:12. Earlier in Colossians 4:6, we were reviewing how God says, let your speech be always with grace and season seasoned with salt. I could say the same thing to the same person or to one person in a rude way or a way that's not loving, and someone else can come along and say the same words to that same person, and they will receive it because it's spoken with graciousness and care. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. I say that little proverb, I believe, is true. Jesus was moved with compassion. His motivation for ministry was coming out of the love of God, which is the cardinal fruit of the Spirit. Some believe that the nine fruit of the Spirit are basically one fruit, love, the first one mentioned of the nine in Galatians 5:22-23, and all the other eight are dimensions of the love of God. That sounds about right, actually. So, you know, faith worketh by love. Scripture says God is love, and he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love, and God in him. So you can't separate God and love. You cannot say someone's a Christian if they're not walking in the love of God, because when you're one with him who is love, his love is going to be manifesting in and through your life. Now, that doesn't mean that this negates rebuke or admonition, but may it come out of the cross life where we're consenting daily to our own death and burial, and Christ is risen up in us. And when the rebuke or the correction issues forth, it's coming out of and from the throne of God, and not because you saw some sin in somebody's life and now you're going to go and take care of it. Let God do that. And that doesn't mean sin doesn't have to be corrected. Correction and rebuke are all over the New Testament. And that is the work of God, the mercy of God, to help people be delivered, set free, and in right relationship with him. So much could be said there, saints. Ecclesiastes 10:12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow him up. Now, let's look at how the Bible speaks about a wise man and how his heart teaches his mouth what to speak. Notice Proverbs 16:23-24. Solomon, known to be the wisest man who ever walked the earth other than Christ. Proverbs 16:23-24. Again, highly recommend you capture these truths into your own life so that they can be manifested, if you will, in your life. And you really don't own these scriptures and truth until you begin to meditate on them. And the best way to be able to meditate on them is to memorize them, write them down on an index card. And by the way, that makes you a ready minister of Christ to be able to share them with others. How many times have we wanted to share a scripture with someone and didn't remember where it was, right? And if you're like me, you like to get it right out of the Bible so that you don't mess it up. Or both. You memorize it verbatim and precisely, obviously, always the way it is. And the best way to begin doing that, in my estimation, is to write it down with the reference, obviously, and memorize both of them associated with each other on an index card. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. There it is. Again, the words of your mouth are flowing from your heart. And if you're teaching your heart the word of God and the Spirit of God, who is gracious and loving and caring, is issuing forth through your words. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone. The right words spoken in due season bring healing to those who hear it. And that should be a prayer that we pray. I love it. Proverbs 15:23, the chapter right before where we were there in Proverbs 16. Notice, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. When your heart, when you choose to start teaching your mouth, as we just read in Proverbs 16:22-23, there's going to be great joy that you're actually executing things the way God ordained. And it's really because you're submitting yourself to the cross and the death and burial. And Christ is raising you up, and his wisdom is beginning to issue forth, not only in you, but through you. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. You know, conversely, as we spoke about earlier, we all feel a great grieving when we speak the wrong words or we speak in the wrong spirit, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, James 1:20. And the Holy Spirit in the Word of God convicts us. That's why he gave us a conscience. He made us with a conscience. And the conviction of the Lord, the guilt, is all a blessing from God to turn us back to him and cry out to him for a transformed life. But God does this only in conjunction with man's will. And so I would ask you at this point, are you teaching your mouth? from your heart through the Word of God. A man hath joy. That is a heart that is captive to the Word of God. Let me add that. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Father, we do pray right now that you would cause us to be crucified with Christ. Lord, anoint every listener with your Holy Ghost to be crucified with Christ, Lord, and thereby raised up by you and be able to be used of you, Lord, a vessel unto honor and meet for the Master's use. Let there be words that only you could quicken, scripture and otherwise, to be spoken, Lord, into the ears and the lives of those that you put us together with, so that they can be united with you, Lord, either to edify and correct and bless and encourage your people, or to bring forth the seed of salvation to the lost. Thank you for your work in your people. Strengthen us with the might of your Spirit in the inner man, and make us bold in thee, Lord, to speak your truth in love, in Jesus' name. Amen, saints. There's so much to be said on this topic, so much treasure to dig out, if you will, to unearth, to mine for in God's beautiful Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, beloved saints, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, which is the Word of God. Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Saints, thanks for listening. Please avail yourself to all of the resources on safeguardyoursoul.com. Please share. Also, feel free to get on the email list and share things with others that can help them grow in Christ. We've got a Peace with God page. Top left is the button, and it will lead people to Jesus. It is absolutely amazing. Text of scripture to lead people straight to Jesus. Thank you for your support in prayer and otherwise. It's much needed and much appreciated. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.